How about now? That looks a little bit better. Everybody, make sure your mics are pointing at yourselves.
Nice and good waveforms happening over there.
Yeah, we got some good waveforms.
Good. Glad I'm coming in all sexy like.
I wouldn't go that far. You're coming in all regular Rick type.
You didn't put on the sexy voice modulator?
Go to that. If a text sexy noise sample apply to entire podcast.
Hello.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck. No, that reminds me. Did you hear that James Earl Jones has officially said, like, hey, I'm retiring from doing Darth Vader? And Disney said, cool, we're buying the rights to your voice so we can just have an AI do all your lines. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair,
he's the perfect voice for that.
I kind of am okay with that. Like, his voice is modulated enough as Vader that it works.
There's like two parts of it. There's the, like, specifically in this example for Star Wars and this character, hey, that's pretty cool.
Right.
He's an iconic voice. It'd be weird hearing Darth Vader with any other voice.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be kind of a shame that, you know, they're doing all this, like, you know, the
work
and previous era stuff, and they're, you know, all like Not Obi-Wan and everything, and stuff that Darth Vader would be in, and to have a different voice would be weird.
Yeah.
And then there's the other side of me that's like, man, like, you see this and you see all the stuff about how deep fakes just keep getting more believable easier and easier, and it's like, this feels like very uneasy.
I mean, I guess this is one of those things of like where people are like, oh no, this will destroy people's jobs and stuff. But I think that like you need to create that performance in the first place. Like, no one would care if they were recreating Darth Vader.
I don't want
Top
Gun
87
though.
I'm perfectly fine with Top Gun 87 if it's a good movie. We should actually have done the Top Gun movie at some point.
The Top Gun movie was pretty fun.
I heard
it was good.
It's all like, Hollywood already has gotten to a point of, like, I mean, we talked about it before, like, just the sequels and the reimaginings.
They're more incestuous than the Targaryens, let's be honest.
Yes, and I feel like this just further, like, steps off that cliff as opposed to going in a different direction, which I would prefer.
Yeah. I suppose, but, like, it's one of those things, if we have the ability to do a thing, we will do the thing. Morality is only, like, a fifth consideration.
Your scientists were so busy asking if they could do the thing that they didn't ask, should they do the thing?
In this case, yes, because I want James Earl's sexy voice forever.
Artificial life finds a way.
Exactly.
Man, Caleb's not here tonight. We should spin the wheel. Spin. Pretends like we didn't already spin the wheel. Hey, it landed on Tintin. Hey, I'm Josh. I'm an
what
analyst.
What the fuck?
Nashville. And I've got a small little yappy dog.
I'm Rick Fox. I am an author here in Nashville, and my head looks like a paintbrush.
I'm Brian. I'm an illustrator here in Nashville, and I look like a manga hero.
And we're opinionated.
And this week, we should be starting our October Spooky Month, but Caleb's not here, and he'll be missing from a couple episodes, so we didn't want to start all the fun without him, so we're doing a listener request. Today's listener request came from our email. It came from Lucian. Thank you, Lucian, for suggesting Tintin. Tintin came out in 2011. It currently has a 74 on Rotten Tomatoes. It was written by Stephen Moffat and Edgar Wright, but the first writer is just Herge.
Like, Herge?
The original Tintin author.
Yeah.
And directed by Steven Spielberg.
Yep.
It stars Jamie Bell, Andy Serkis, Daniel Craig, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and many others.
Does Andy Serkis just have a thing where if there's CGI in your movie, he has to get a part in it? Is that just a thing that he
does? It's part of his contract.
Okay.
Is this the live-action Tintin?
It's the, like, I feel
Tintin
like this
a real
is the
boy?
The Polar Express CGI Tintin.
I feel like
where it's like not see it's like sort of live action, but not.
I think you might be right.
Intrepid reporter Tintin, Captain Haddock. Wait, intrepid reporter Tintin and Captain Haddock set off on a treasure hunt for a sunken ship commanded by Haddock's ancestor, and based on the like overly epic poster that I'm seeing in like tiny postage stamp size here.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is the, it looks sort of realistic,
like
but not
Polar
really.
Express.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
Polar Express.
Exactly
yeah,
like
yeah.
Polar Express. Yes.
So I don't know much about Tintin at all. I've read a few of the very old comics, but I read like the bits that weren't part of like a larger story, because right, I know yeah. there are like some collections that are, hey, like Tintin goes on this big old entire book adventure, and yeah. I haven't read any of that. I pretty much know that he's just like adventure boy, and he yeah. has his pal he's Captain like, Man there with him. Yeah, like, he's like I don't know
Brothers.
Much at all.
Yeah, I think of him as being like in the Hardy
like
Brothers
a, thing. Or like a less hardcore Johnny Quest, if such a thing can be said.
Yes, exactly. 100%.
Have you guys seen or read anything, Tintin?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen bits of it. I could not name any specific thing, but I've seen little like clippets of the comic and whatnot.
When I was a kid, I know I watched at least like an episode or two on Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network or wherever it was on.
Yeah.
But I have basically no memories of it, so this is about as fresh on Tintin as I can possibly be.
He's got a magic sack of tricks, I think.
Wait, are you being serious? Or
no,
is that...
that's Felix the Cat.
Oh. I don't know Felix the Cat either. That's
doesn't he like eat some spinach and get super strength?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, that's Powerpuff Girls.
That's right.
Okay, so now I don't know if the one that you said was Felix the Cat was actually Felix
yeah,
the Cat.
Yeah, that's actually Felix the Cat.
Is it?
For the longest time,
you're
I
you're having Popeye fight Major Mojo Jojo.
I had a Felix
that.
The Cat toy for a long time, and it had no magic sack. And when I heard about that, I'm like, that sounds like weird bullshit.
Speaking of weird bullshit, so we don't really have much to say about Tintin. Yeah. We're going to get in and watch it. But speaking of weird bullshit, I do have to say thank you to our newest patron, Scott, and I'm going to mispronounce it because it's Norwegian and I don't speak that, but it's Scott Shirley, I think.
Shirley.
Thank you for supporting us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/opinionated for anyone who might be interested. He's supporting us for 10 NOK a month, and I went and looked it up.
Okay.
Our lowest tier is $1.
Okay.
And that's a dollar?
No, it's 93 cents. This motherfucker is sneaking in. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Well, to be fair, we appreciate your 10 knock. Anyway.
We appreciate your knock nonetheless.
Yes.
Thank you, Scott Shirley. If you want to help support the podcast, you can do that on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/opinionated for as little as a buck a month, or apparently 93 cents. You can get all sorts of bonus content, including some listener requests, some first impressions, as well as early access to all of our episodes. We'll put the episodes out a little bit early on our Patreon. Mm-hmm. Additionally, if you want to help support us, we're sponsored by Manscaped again. Thank
yeah.
you, Manscaped.
Yeah. And thank you all our listeners who actually went out and bought stuff with it, because if you hadn't,
absolutely.
They wouldn't have given us more money. So
that's right. And we've got new copy because it's Halloween time. So Woo. It's like, are you scared of how big your bush is?
Yes, it is a terror bush.
I can't go to the doctor.
I've tried to chop it down with a chainsaw, but it just is getting gummed up every time.
It's the chainsaw pubic hair massacre. Oh, gosh. Guys, if you want to help support us, go to Manscaped. You can get 20% off and free shipping with our code OPINIONATED. Clear out the leaves. It's your tree trunks. Time to shine. Manscaped is supporting us. They did give us like a free package of the Lawnmower 4.0 as well as some of their other gear for us to try out. Personally, I don't grow hair very fast. Like my beard, my mustache, and then my pubic hair don't grow at like an alarming speed. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not like a, you know, multiple times a week kind of groomer.
Right,
like
right.
I just don't need to be. And I was impressed at how well the battery life lasted in between uses.
Yeah.
Like that's it had been a while and it was still pretty much fully charged.
I haven't charged mine since I've had it.
Yeah. And
Brian's hair grows like just it's you can visibly see him growing a beard right now.
Teen Wolf over here. We went silent and Brian's hair just grew longer. It was crazy.
I was just visualizing that scene from fucking Teen Wolf. Teen Wolf is the fucked up transformation, right?
No, you're thinking of American Werewolf.
American Werewolf.
Well, yeah. Teen Wolf is a comedy.
I mean, you can have a fucked up transformation in a comedy.
Imagine how much better he would have been if it was American Manscaped in London.
Oh, God. We just lost Scott Skule. He just said, nope, we can't support it for 93 cents.
No, that's right.
93 cents.
I genuinely really appreciated Manscaped sending us that gear, and I enjoyed using it. I didn't nick myself. The light was easy to see everything going on when I was using it in the shower, and it's held its charge really well. So, again, if you want to help support us and you want to get some great gear, go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with our code OPINIONATED. Guys, we'll be back in just a minute after we're finished watching The Adventures of Tintin.
100 years ago.
Secure the cargo.
A power that could have changed the course of history was lost. Generations have searched for it.
Snowy, look at this. It was long claimed the ship was carrying a secret cargo.
But no one has found a clue. Until now.
The model ship conceals a clue to one of the greatest secrets in all history.
I'm warning you. Get out while you still can. These people do not play nice.
I will find that ship, with or without your help.
Thanks. I'm Tintin, by the way.
Haddock. Archibald Haddock. Someone's locked the door.
The keys, Snowy. Not the sandwich. The keys.
Hip-hop.
I just don't understand how you can, like, hate it. Like, I can get it being like, yeah, this isn't really my jam, but, like, I'm not a metalhead, but I can still hear some metal songs and be like, all right, this is a banger, but, like, it's just not my
jam. It's partly because I just didn't like it to begin with, and then it, like, got really overplayed for a while.
Like, when you work so weird that they play, like, three songs over and over again.
Yeah. And eventually you just want to kill everyone in the store.
Yeah. Taylor Swift.
Picture I guess this, that came out later than I thought it was. It Wasn't Me came out in 2000.
Yeah. Oh, wait, that you thought it was, like, later? That's actually earlier.
No, I thought it was considerably earlier than I thought. Yeah.
No way.
I thought it was, like, a mid-90s.
Mm-mm. Nope. I started listening to music around 2000, so that's why I know.
That's when you started?
Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, 14 before I was like, oh, hey, I enjoy music sometimes.
That was around the time there were several songs that were just like, hey, cheat on your man with me.
Yeah,
like
that
the
was
Uncle
a,
Cracker song.
That was a common subject matter for songs in that time.
I mean, you think it worked?
Like, yeah. For some people, yeah.
I imagine so.
It did not create a lot of healthy, lasting relationships. I'll put it that way. But some people got laid.
No, a song about encouraging people to cheat isn't going to do that.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Surprisingly.
It turns out everyone just need to give up monogamy. Everyone's happy now.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Happy.
Another song that's extremely annoying.
Which overplayed song
after the 7,000th time I've heard it.
Which
very
song
annoying.
Are we talking about?
That's not the song itself. That you have.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that one.
Yeah. You gotta attribute
first,
it where it's
the
due.
First like
it's
three
the
or four times it was acceptable.
Yeah, it's a good
and
song.
And then after about the fifth time, I was like, all right, I'm done with this.
I forget what
CeeLo Green,
Mr. Green, CeeLo Green's.
Fuck
other.
You! I love Fuck You. That's a great song.
No, he has like a group. It's him and another guy, and I forget the name of it.
Gnarls Barkley.
Yeah, I like their stuff.
Yeah, Gnarls Barkley's great. Yeah. I love Gnarls Barkley. Yeah.
Speaking of stuff that's fun, it's all right. The Tintin movie was pretty it was decent. Yeah, I didn't mind it. Okay. At first,
I can see why everyone forgets that it existed.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I had fun, and it very much felt like the Mummy movie geared for kids.
Yes. I could agree with that.
Where it's got that very, like, kind of globetrotting adventure, and, like, our heroes have shown up in Paris, and such and so climbs the tower, and now they find out that
there's the thing
that
here.
The MacGuffin is leading them off to Saudi Arabia.
Was
or
this the
like,
same group that made Snowy Express, whatever the fuck
oh,
that
I
movie
no
was?
The Polar Express, because it's that very similar animation style.
Right. Yeah, it's not
this
quite as like.
Better.
So much better than Polar Express.
What is that when you see something that's
it's
almost
like uncanny valley.
Yeah, it's not because a lot of them are caricatures, but some of them are just like almost people, but they have like weird corpse teeth.
I really didn't like Tintin when the movie started, but the more the movie went on, the more I was like, all right, this is acceptable.
I got more used to him after seeing him emote.
Mm-hmm. That did help a lot.
I would like to see him with beady eyes.
Yeah, that would help. You did compare it to The Mummy. It's really more The Mummy 2, because that's the one that's more adventure-y.
Sure.
And I say that because I think that the problem with this movie is it doesn't have a lot of what the first Mummy does have, which is a lot of personality. This movie is fun, but it leans very heavily on two jokes and a lot
which
of
is
action.
Captain Drunk.
Captain Drunk, and Snowy is the only competent being in the entire universe.
I don't even
universe.
Think that's a joke. I think the other joke is that Thompson and Thompson are are bumbling buffoons.
Well, I don't know if that's just, even a joke, because it's not funny ever.
They're taking whatever the themes are from the comic, which are like silly and one-shoggy, and just having an hour and a half of it, and you see that that is not
doesn't
a,
play. Yeah. For, yeah, after about an hour, you're like, all right, I need something else. But
these are jokes you're supposed to get like once a week. Yeah. a dozen times.
I was entertained throughout the movie.
Yes, I would.
There were
with that.
Jokes that landed at pretty much at each part of it.
Sure.
It's not like by the end of it, I was just like looking at my watch, like counting down the seconds till it was done. It was entertaining throughout. Yeah.
It's popcorn.
It does
though.
Feel it's popcorn. It feels kind of shallow, and it's got this weird. Like, you can tell by the way that the characters act, and Brian, you brought up just the way that they look. Like, there are characters that are designed very specifically with specific features, and you can and you can tell that it's because, hey, in the comic,
they look
this is what they looked like, right? Thompson and Thompson are a very specific example where you can almost see, like, yes, they drew the nose this way because that's how they were animated.
Absolutely.
And other characters weren't that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's sort of a problem.
It is a problem because it does this thing where it's a movie for kids, but all the references are for people who grew up reading Tintin.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
And there is no Venn diagram there. Like, that does not overlap.
Right.
And I feel like we are kind of caught in between the two where we didn't read Tintin, but we knew what it was.
Yeah. And we're not watching this as children.
We're not watching this as children or with our kids.
Correct.
And so it puts us in a kind of awkward middle ground where I feel like there's a lot of people who might have appreciated this movie more than we did.
Mm-hmm. Was the remake of Three Stooges good?
I have never seen it, so I don't know.
I remember it being a thing and them like...
Wearing
weird gangster clothing. I was like, I don't think I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, no, that I didn't even. To be perfectly honest with you, I did not realize there was a remake.
That's
of the
what
Three Stooges.
Like. That's what this feels like. Like Simon and Mr. Peabody, Rocky and Bullwinkle, all these weird 50s, 40s remakes. They just like they really aren't going to have a place now.
I would say that. Honestly, I think this
someone out there's clamoring for the Yogi Bear remake we've made.
There is something to be said for those. Like, I would say that George of the Jungle, which we watched recently, was basically the same idea. And because, I mean, that's done by the same people who did Rocky and Bullwinkle. And I would say that movie was pretty fun. Like, it was not amazing and it didn't stick.
I had a good time with it, though.
Yeah, but we had a good time. And I would say that this fits in that same vein of like, it's not something of like Three Stooges wearing gangster clothes in that it does not feel like they are painfully failing at updating it for a new time.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of stuff that is fun. It's just that this movie is not, it is the things that Steven Spielberg was clearly focused on were the visuals and the cool action set pieces that he wanted to use this movie as a vehicle to create. The rest of the movie is kind of a secondary excuse, and that's the problem.
Which other parts of the movie bother you the most? Because you're kind of coming across like the action's fun, but the rest of it's like, I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is I am enjoying the movie when we are doing these insane, crazy action scenes. Those are the best parts. And
because
there's
a lot of fun stuff, like when Tintin's trying to escape the ship as the captain's waiting in the in the longboat, or when Captain and the villain are like doing their crane jousting.
The final chase were really cool.
Final chase is awesome. I would say that the most of the movie though fits more in the scene of Tintin trying to escape the ship, which is, this is fun, it's fine, but nothing in this is going to stick with me, and I don't care about Tintin because he's kind of a doofus whose dog does most of his work for him, and I don't care about the captain because he's kind of just a drunk idiot. And so the movie is missing a certain amount of charm and character that I think would have made this go from entertaining but forgettable to a genuinely great movie.
That's what I was thinking, but in a different sense of, I think they need one more protagonist or like someone to, like, whenever they usually remake these movies, they're like, and here's the fucking Mary Sue self-insert.
Right, yeah.
But also, I feel like there's dead air a lot of the time where like Tintin is talking to himself
when
there should be someone else.
Yeah, Tintin, you need to replace the dog with another character that actually can like have a conversation with Tintin. Because I think you're right in that a lot of this has to be carried by the interactions of Tintin and the captain. Because a whole lot of this is Tintin trying to drag the story of what they're doing out of the captain. And while parts of that are enjoyable, a lot of it it is just kind of like, okay, this exposition has to happen so that we can have the next scene happen.
Yeah.
And again, action scenes are great. Like, I think that they are genuinely wonderful and extremely creative. And I think that's because they're what got all of the attention for the movie. The rest of it is a series of stitched together scenes to make those action scenes happen.
I think that's fair. I think we, I was looking up the different characters because you mentioned that, you know, we could possibly use having a fourth person in here to kind of balance it out. And what I see when I look up Tintin characters is that there's a number of people in this movie that we kind of pointed out, like they look kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And it is
characters.
Like the opera singer.
Because
at one point, Red Rackham's descendant, what's his name? The villain of the movie.
Saccharin.
He's going around trying to collect the three clues from each of these model ships, and the third one is protected behind bulletproof glass, so he hires this opera singer to sing her note. And so she does this whole opera, and at the very end, the final note of the opera shatters the bulletproof glass, and he sends his trained hawk to
his
go down.
Snowy thing is an evil hawk. Yeah, exactly. It never gets a name.
No, it's just the evil hawk.
But that opera singer is a character in
the Tintin comics.
Bianca Castafiore, and apparently the whole thing is that, like, she shows up every adventure and always just really pisses the captain off. Because he's always like, oh, this loud bitch, I hate her. And she's always showing up somehow. Like, there's always need for an opera singer.
Does Tintin ever get a love interest? Have you seen a love interest?
I don't know.
I feel like that's not the kind of story they're telling.
Yeah. There's some characters in here that I think could possibly work as a fourth addition to the crew in this movie. You've got Professor Calculus, who looks kind of like a frazzled, like,
professor
like
type
tense
character.
Professor nerd. You've got some that I don't really know if they are, like, a good guy or a bad guy, like Piotr Skoot, who looks like a police officer, but he's got an eye patch, so is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? I don't know. Then there's other characters that I feel we should probably leave out of the movie, like Chang Chong Chen.
Okay. Yeah, that's not culturally sensitive at this point.
It's just funny. I see what you mean, but I feel like... I don't know. I take it from what I've read about the plans for a sequel that it was always planned to be, especially with the way the movie ends, where, like, they find their gold and their treasure and look at it and enjoy it for all of 3 seconds before
they,
Tintin's screw those golden gems. Captain Haddock, there's a map at the bottom of the globe here.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you like adventure? I sure do, Tintin. And then they, like, freeze frame and Snowy winks at the camera or whatever.
Right.
And so I feel like the idea was always, hey, we're going to turn this into, like, the Tintin series.
Yeah.
And so we're going to, like, introduce the characters as we go through it, right?
I wouldn't mind that at all. I just think that a big part of the reason this didn't have as much success or memorability as it could is that Tintin is just kind of bland. Yeah. I like him. I don't, like, actively not want to see him.
He just doesn't have any blasting power.
Exactly. He is the epitome of a, like, blank slate type of character that any boy can just put himself into and be like, all right, now I'm on this adventure instead of Tintin. I'm just going to imagine it that way. And that's fine. You can do that. But it is not something I think that the style of story that we want now. Yeah, for sure. And you have room, I think, with this character to give him some more specific traits that would make him more interesting or at least more
memorable. And there's parts of that you get. Like, at the beginning, it shows that he is a journalist, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why he's after the story. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the setup for why he's so
somehow he's always a treasure journalist, though.
Right.
Like, all of his newspaper clippings are like, found by Tintin.
Yeah, and they all have bodies attached to them.
Indiana Jones is an archaeologist.
And a professor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but that makes sense because there's treasure involved in that. He could be reporting on, like, the new bridge being built.
Indiana Jones and the House of the Lost Broken Pot Shards.
To be fair, with Indiana Jones, they are always pulling him into things because he is an archaeologist and they want his take on things. Like, that's attached to what's going on. Instead of this movie where it's like, hey, a guy got murdered in front of you, Tintin. Apparently, not even close to the first time, because your landlady is just like, again, as though her biggest concern is not the dead man in front of her, but the stains he's leaving on her carpet.
Oh, she's numb to it. I think they said he survived?
No, he died. Like, he's dead.
I thought, like, the two Interpol guys later on were like, your friend that got shot, by the way, were also working. Like, it kind of makes it sound like he's not...
No, I think they were saying that, like, hey, your friend had been tailing this guy for a while.
Was the pickpocket among those characters that, like, recurs repeatedly
throughout
the thing?
He had that kind of design.
He does feel that way to me.
I didn't see a pickpocket character.
Huh, that's surprising.
His name was Mr. Silk.
Mr. Silk. I like Mr. Silk because he's one of the characters that has a lot of personality that works. And because, like, he's got the same, I think, level of personality as, say,
why would they put this character in there at all if he didn't pre-exist? Like, why bother having this weird C story of a pickpocket that doesn't do anything?
Okay, I guess this is just, like, part of the story. Astriades Silk is a minor antagonist of the 1943 Tintin comic book, The Secret of the Unicorn.
Okay, so he's just a character that
he's just
like
a minor character
in. That's fair.
And I don't know this, but I would assume that in the original story, he probably has a similar
role
to what happens here, where he's going around pickpocketing all of London, and he pickpockets Tintin.
Yeah.
He's not a pickpocket. He's a kleptomaniac. He doesn't even spend the money. He just wants the wallet so he can have the wallet.
That's my favorite thing about it.
Yeah. Takes them in and catalog. My favorite bit is when Thompson and Thompson are holding up the wallet. They're like, by George, it's Tintin.
Yeah.
And it says... Tintin nicked on this day.
Yeah.
Like, he's just cataloging it all.
And it's not like, even though they are stupid, they're so stupid. They're like, he is turning
Thompson
himself in
to
Thompson and Thompson.
Actively.
They're like, shut up. We're trying to think right now.
Yeah. We're trying to solve the mystery of who is stolen all these wallets.
All these wallets that you said we're not going to take from you because we're not thieves.
I like this character. And I think that if more of the characters that are one note in this movie were kind of like this, of like, they're there, they maybe show back up again later, it would work better. And
they
I realize
make up
that,
for
like,
the lack of Tintin if there's just constantly new, fresh
new
meat.
Exactly. And I think that a big part of it is that so much of this hangs on the captain, who is himself just as one note, and it's not that funny of a joke that he's like a drunk. I think if they had more of these characters like him who were more, like, this guy is unique, but he's just as one note as the captain is in a lot of ways. And so if you had other characters that were stepping in and having this role of, like, they're a fun, unique character for a couple seconds and they're out of the movie.
You have enough notes to make a song.
Exactly.
Well, and you've got a lot of characters that feel like they could operate that way, but don't. Like, you've got the, like, the first mate, like, the captain's mutinous first mate who's been teaming up with Saccharin. And he feels like a character that could have some... He doesn't necessarily seem like the guy who, like, is making the jokes, but he should be at the butt of the jokes as Tintin. Snowy runs up and bites him on the ass, and he spins around like, oh, my ass, or whatever.
You could just have him be, like, comically angry at the captain all the time. Like, he has entirely perfectly reasonable reason to be angry at this guy because he's a complete idiot drunk and makes massive mistakes constantly. So having to deal with this guy as your boss would be a miserable experience, and that would be funny if you gave him that opportunity to just like, no, I'm not doing this because I'm a bad person. I'm doing this because, like, you've drank away our money over and over. Like, give him a...
You've ruined our lives.
But at the same time, I wonder how much of these expectations come from us having watched other movies like this.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, kid-focused adventure movies, as opposed to, like, hey, here's how the characters act in the 1943 comic book.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
We're like... I don't think they're going to be as bombastic. I don't think there's going to be as many over-the-top, like, sequences.
Sure.
I've read a lot of comic books, and some of the older ones, you're like, all right, I'm, like, thumbing through these pages of dialogue because I want to get
good
to the fun
stuff
part
happening again. You're not wrong, but... At the same time, they are making this movie in 2011, not in the 40s.
Yeah. I agree, but this goes back to what I was saying, where I feel like this movie is being made for two different groups of people, and we're caught in the middle, right? Because the people who grew up reading Tintin and love it are going to be fine with this mm-hmm. if it matches the way that those characters behave. And the kids that are watching this are going to be fine because the captain burps a lot. Like, they're not really going to care.
I don't disagree. My issue is that if you are making a multi-million-dollar movie, you don't want everyone to walk out of it going, yeah, that was fine.
Yeah, I mean, you can make kids movies or whatever and make them fucking amazing.
Yeah, that was fine is a lot better than a lot of kid movies.
That's true. I will not
There's a lot of kid movies that I would walk out of going, that was garbage, and I'm mad.
100%. But I also don't think that if you go back to the 40s, they're going to have like these insane, over-the-top action scenes the way that this movie does. So clearly, they are iterating on what was there in some degree. They just didn't iterate on all of it, and the parts where they didn't iterate, it really shows through and drags the movie down in a lot of ways, I think. I think you could take an example of a property that fits all of the criteria you're saying and really did a good job of updating it in a lot of ways for a modern audience, and that's Spider-Man. The original, like, Sam Raimi Spider-Man. It is
sure.
very obvious that Sam Raimi wants to do the comics that or do a movie that makes him feel the way the comics that he read
yeah.
in the Silver Age of Spider-Man when he was first being created feels to him. Like, that's what he is going for completely. And you can tell by the tone, by the way that he is creating that movie, by the silliness of it, the type of jokes that he's telling.
The dialogue.
Yeah, exactly, the dialogue. But at the same time, he is very clearly updating that story to make it feel much more modern than it needs to be. And than
the original source material was.
Exactly, yeah. And there, is, I believe, are certainly parts of this that are that level of updated. I don't know that the comics in the 40s had this level of violence. Maybe they did. You could probably get a lot away with a lot.
I think they did.
But at the same time, like, I don't know if you're seeing guys get stabbed on screen, like shot a whole bunch. You know,
normally see like their silhouettes being stabbed and shot.
It would be implied as much
and
as
then
anything.
There is a puddle of blood.
Right.
I don't know. I did just look up Tintin original comic action scene and saw a page where the captain gets thrown from a train and lands in a cactus. So, well, how does that make you feel?
That's pretty hardcore.
I mean, I've been stabbed by a cactus before. It's not fun.
Not fun at all. What'd you think of Snowy?
Fine.
Snowy
does a lot of
the heavy lifting.
I believe that. So the captain is a drunk and he does that really well. Mm-hmm. Tintin is a reporter and I feel like he does a good job of like exclaiming aloud the things that are happening around him. And I feel like Snowy is a detective because Snowy's the one who's doing the actual work for a good chunk of this movie. Like Tintin's like, bye, I don't know how he's going to get past this gate. And Snowy's just over there. He's like, woof, I found a hole.
Right.
And that happens multiple times.
I wish they had leaned a little harder into it because like it feels like it is trying to have its cake and eat it too, of like Snowy being the competent one, but Tintin
being
never
the protagonist.
Yeah. And Tintin is just kind of there. So if you made Tintin maybe a little stupider. What's that?
He shot down a plane with
he
one
did.
Bullet.
He really did. That was impressive.
What if he's doing that? And Snowy just like notices his aim is off, and so he
and
barks and fetches his hand at the last minute.
That's not even that. He didn't shoot down a plane. He knocked a plane unconscious, so he could use it later.
That's true. He did.
It's a perfectly placed shot to sever a fuel line that can easily be repaired later.
He didn't shoot, like, he just knocked it off, and you just put it right back on.
The problem with that, though, is it's sort of like his piloting ability. Like, he pilots a thing through an incredible storm and manages to make it work and tells the captain exactly how to save it mid-flight. None of that is stuff I believe Tintin has the skill set.
You want Snowy up there steering the plane?
Well, I either want Snowy steering the plane because that's more entertaining.
I believe Tintin has Eagle Scout abilities.
I want to at least have him mention that he was an Eagle Scout, and this is like if it was a continual series of Tintin has this improbable skill, but he has an explanation for like why he has it, and just treats it as though it is the most commonplace.
Well, okay,
that would be a running joke that I would enjoy.
The movie did at the beginning show us like the wall of his newspaper clippings of all his exploits.
So but he also had Snowy the whole time.
But the problem is that those kinds of things feel.
Yeah, but it's not.
but
the headlines aren't Snowy and Human Companion.
Yeah, but you know, no,
case of the missing.
That's because he's the journalist. He's taking credit for Snowy's work. No,
history books are written by the winner, Snowy.
History books are written by the ones with thumbs, Snowy.
Snowy could ride with his mouth.
He probably could. No, but like if he had this continual series of improbable skills that he explained away casually, like as though it was completely normal, it would be a funny running joke and would make him feel more unique instead of like, I can shoot down this plane because I am the main character.
Now, well, I think he's a genius by like humans. Like he's a functioning adult at 15 with like several awards and a handgun for some reason in England. I just think Snowy is a super genius.
In the 40s, before the youths were worthless.
Yeah.
Right, right, right. When they were earning their keep.
That's right. Like if you ask me if a random 15-year-old in the 40s knew how to like fix an engine as it sputtered out.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, probably.
Sure. I could believe that a 15-year-old has like the basic skills to be like, all right, this is the thing that goes here. It's the fuel line. I know what to do here.
I mean, he has a manual right there.
I feel like I could fly that plane as good as Tintin did. Yeah. See how good he flew it?
No.
He would go, it was up and down.
When it went upside down, they should have been dead. The fact that he could flip it back over like it's no thing. Pretty big deal.
That was Snowy. Snowy jumped around and bounced it out again.
Snowy was too busy drinking alcohol and vomiting it back up into the other guy.
He didn't vomit it back up.
No, I thought that's how the other...
It was a second glug. Oh, it was a second glug, yeah.
No, Snowy should be dead.
I feel like Snowy drank half a bottle of medical grade like
that will kill a dog.
Alcohol.
In case you don't know, because this is a thing that shows up in a lot of movies, do not give your dogs alcohol. It will kill them. Their liver cannot process it.
That's right. Well, Snowy's an exception. Snowy's a very
Snowy's
talented
an exception
dog
in every single way. Snowy is actually a human. He's just trapped in a dog's body.
I was sure. Like I would have bet $50 at the beginning of this movie that they were going to do the, oh no, Snowy's dead. Oh wait, he's fine kind of thing.
Yeah.
They didn't touch on that.
Nope, not at all.
At no point did it seem like he was like possibly dead.
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of appreciate that.
Well, like, yeah, I guess I appreciate it.
Sort of, but it does kind of lead to another point where none of our like Hero 3, the Captain, Tintin, and Snowy, none of them ever really feel like they're in danger. Even though they are in scenes and scenarios that very much could be, like being shot at by multiple people. They're careening down a very steep road while wrestling with a hawk and the bad guys and whatever. Yeah. And then later on, the captain's crane jousting with our villain, Saccharin, right? All these are dangerous situations where someone could easily die, but it never feels dangerous.
And that's because the movie is never actually handing them setbacks. Every time that it does something to them that seems like it should be a setback, it instead turns out to be something that will help them. If they are trapped at sea and like have no way to catch up to the ship that is coming, well, conveniently, they sent a plane after them, and that plane is going to not only be able to be shot down with a single bullet, they're going to be able to take that plane and ride it to the Sahara where, oh, they're stuck in the desert. How are they going to get out of this? Not only will they get out of it, they will conveniently have that be the excuse to have the captain explain his backstory and remember the things he doesn't remember. And it's
I didn't like that joke.
No,
yeah. It took going through the Sahara for him to sober up.
I also like that joke, but the problem is that the movie is constantly handing them things that should be setbacks and taking it away, and not only taking that setback away, but giving them a bonus on top of that. They are constantly yes-anding instead of saying no, but, and giving them ways to work around that and make them be clever. The movie is always just handing them the card they need at exactly the moment instead of making them earn it, and that's a big part of why
they're
disguising
the card as, oh no, something bad happened.
Exactly.
Well, and there's even the like interpersonal setbacks that would normally happen in a movie like this where it's coming. It's the second act. Our heroes have to have a minor miscommunication.
Yeah.
They blow way out of proportion and they're mad at each other. And
I wouldn't even say that was that big of a deal. Like, they gotta go.
Not in this movie. In most, even kids' movies, like, oh no, the red bird from the Angry Birds movie is mad at his friend, the yellow bird, or whatever. I don't know. I didn't see it. Shrek and Donkey are pissed at each other for some reason.
Indiana Jones hits Short Round with a whip. Oh shit, that got real.
But in this one, it's like, they have, like, Tintin thinks that the captain lost his piece of the scroll because the captain was drinking again when the captain really got hit over the back of the head with a bottle after very responsibly putting it down and staying sober.
Yeah.
And it's a misunderstanding for 30 seconds until they hop into a motorcycle together and they're cool.
Is it even ever addressed again? Like, he's mad at him, but it doesn't come to anything. Like,
well,
it would be better.
Tintin seems kind of bummed out that they lost the clue, and then immediately it's like, oh, wait, we figured it out.
As it always is.
Yeah. Even before then, he's not mad at him anymore because, like, he sees that, oh, his story was correct. You know, the captain's story is correct. The bad guys have the scroll.
Right.
Which, again, is how, like, logical people would react in a lot of these like scenarios happen in kids' movies,
absolutely.
Right? And not even kids' movies, really, just kind of movies in general.
Yeah. But it takes away the impact of that scene where it could have some. Like, you could have these two develop a genuine respect and friendship for each other, but you're refusing to do that because instead you're just like, okay, and now we're on to the next exciting action scene. And there's something to be said for that, and I do appreciate that the fact that this movie is never sitting still. It is always like careening off to the next fun, exciting scene, but because there's
it doesn't feel like there's real stakes.
Exactly.
And it doesn't feel like the tension that they're showing us is tense.
Or earned, yeah.
I wouldn't even say earned, because there's things there where I would be like, oh, hey, on paper, yes. Look at how they've built this up. It's just, I don't know if it's the music or the way that the characters are interacting with each other. Yeah. It never feels like they're in danger or that there's any issue with something going wrong.
What I would say is, when I'm talking about it tension-wise in this, what I mean by that is like the outcome of the scene needs to feel like it could go a certain way. And because, as we've already talked about, they're constantly just giving them what they need, it's that tension. Basically, while I believe the situation that's created, it is hurting the movie overall because it's not earning what that tension is supposed to pay off
within the movie. Sure. Yeah. Well, and I think a good example of that is the scene where, so they're in Baghdad, I think.
It's something like that.
Bagar.
They're in the Middle East somewhere.
Yeah.
And the opera lady has sung open the bulletproof case with the final ship model that's got the scroll, and Tintin and the bad guys are they're all wrestling over the scraps of scroll as
the
they're
near
careening
indestructible
down,
scrap
right
right yeah
as they're careening down this very steep hill towards the harbor again.
Yeah.
And throughout it, because of what we just talked about, I was like, they're wrestling for it, but Tintin's gonna get it in the end. It's not gonna be an issue. At the end, Tintin does get it, but he has to give it up because the captain and Snowy got caught.
Sure.
In that moment, it should have been, for me, oh, wow, like, that. You know, my expectations were flipped. Like, oh, he's actually going to lose it. Ah, what's going to happen now?
Right.
But instead, he handed it over. I was like, oh, well, I guess this is what's going to happen instead. Like, there was no feelings associated with the flip of expectations that just happened.
Yeah.
It just felt like, oh, okay, I guess this is what's happening next. Neat.
Exactly. This entire movie is a lot like a roller coaster. It will give you sudden jarring turns and sudden like flips, but at the same time, it's always a very smooth ride, and it's never going to really get bumpy at any point.
I guess
unless
we should talk
to.
About the plot a little bit for folks that haven't seen the movie.
Yeah.
The plot is that Tintin buys a model ship for $1
or one pound.
British pound in the street market.
He talks the street market guy down from £2. And this is like
from
an immaculate model ship.
Pound.
Yeah,
this should be hundreds of dollars here.
To be fair, this is what, like the 30s? So like maybe
I didn't know that they were just
made
of like pristine model ships that were apparently like three made in the world are worth a dollar there.
Well, to be fair, apparently this guy just didn't realize
he's
what
just
he had.
Dumb.
So yeah.
Well, and then as soon as Tintin hands over the money, people just crawling out of the woodworks offering him blank checks to try and get this boat from him. He's not listening to any of them. Turns out that the villain of our movie, Saccharin, is trying to collect these three model ships because in each ship there's hidden a separate piece of a scroll that when put all together will reveal the final resting place of this long-lost treasure. And it's the story of the ancestors of Saccharin and Captain Haddock. And, you know, they're great old sailing pirate and English captain ancestors.
Sure, yeah.
What was the butler's actual relationship to the villain? Because I'm having trouble understanding that.
We saw in the story that Haddock tells, maybe flashback, it's kind of unclear whether it's...
Flashback.
It's a flashback.
Yeah, but he's also like kind of making up some details on the spot.
My beef is... That was Haddock's mansion, his ancestor's mansion.
So the ancestor, it was Haddock's mansion, and then Saccharin bought it because...
Okay, he bought it. So that was his butler at the time.
Right.
That wasn't Captain Haddock's. There was, again, he said that he was one of the descendants of the three children of...
But he was
lying. ...grandpa.
Wait.
No,
Haddock.
It's like...
Haddock is that, not
Captain
Saccharin.
Captain Haddock he said he hadn't been to that mansion since he was a
little
boy.
His grandfather. It was his grandfather's. And then at some point in between there, they lost it because they were a bunch of drunks.
Yes.
I thought that it was like their uncle
No.
Had it and died
no.
or something.
No. Like it was,
I'm assuming that there will be a third sibling in the sequel in 15 years that's going to make no sense.
Could be.
I don't know, because he said he's the last of the
Haddocks.
He says that, but he's been drunk for 30 years.
Yeah.
But in his flashback, we see that one of the, like, one of Haddock's ancestors' mates on the ship looks identical to the butler. I'm assuming that along with...
I misunderstood mates on the ship. I was like, we saw what now?
You know. So not only did great Francois Haddock have his descendants and Captain Redbeard have his descendants that led down to Saccharin, the butler also had his descendants who just kept being Haddock.
The first
Haddock
butlers, the help.
I guess.
It was just weird to me that he was helping the villain but wasn't helping the villain and wasn't getting paid. Like, I guess he just comes with the house.
Basically, is my understanding.
It's a package deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe he was just loyal to the Haddocks and saw this as a way to, like, keep him from the treasure.
If a real Haddock ever came, his son would be there to...
Maybe he knew that the treasure was down there and was just like, fuck it, I'm not going to take it or anything. Why not?
I mean, it wasn't, like... They say it was, like, mounted behind a wall kind of thing, but eventually it'd be found.
That, okay,
there was a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
That is
and also, light streaming in from a window to the outside.
Also, yes.
Like, at some point, you have to be, like, mowing the lawn and been like... You know, there's this whole, like, chapel attachment to our house.
Who mows the lawn? The butler.
Yep. By the way, we need to continue with the like, description of what happens in the movie, but I'll go ahead and say, the fact that the treasure was just, like, right there the entire time is really disappointing.
Yeah, it miffed me. But again, this was a setup for a 10-10-2, a 2-2, a 20-20.
Yeah.
He put coordinates in separate boats.
To his own house.
Yes.
Gave it to the three sons to just come home.
To find the clue to the actual treasure.
Oh, you think that that's what that is? Is that it's going to, like, lead them to the where the resting place of the actual ship is?
Yes.
I mean, maybe. But
no,
like,
it's not. Because when you put all three clues together, all three scrolls, and they overlap, them up to the light, you can see the coordinates, right?
He means the one that they find in the hat.
That those
the
coordinates lead to.
Like the 10-10-2 move.
It's I'm
fine.
National treasure. It's a clue to a clue.
Yeah, I'm fine with it being a clue to a clue to a clue. But don't put your long-ass convoluted clue being the one that leads to, like, your basement.
Yeah. I mean, what if people were looking for one of those boats and knocked open that thing and just found the final clue without needing to find the boat?
What if the maid was looking for the vacuum and accidentally opened
what,
the door?
What if she was dusting the globe and hit the little smudge?
Holy shit!
I think in a better movie, you could create a scenario where it's like, oh, what he really wanted was for his sons to come home and that was the real treasure all along. Also, here's some gold, so there's some real treasure. But, like, the movie doesn't actually, like, imply that anyway.
No, the movie says, hey, the real treasure was the treasure you found at the end, not along the way.
Exactly.
And also, here's a map to more treasure that you can find that will be at the end of that adventure, also not along
and
the way.
And we saw what happened to that. Like, there's no... How do you collect exploded treasure that's, like, within hundreds of meters?
Well, I mean,
you just vacuum the bottom
slowly,
of the sea?
Yeah.
I don't think it's actually going to be that. I think it's going to be, like, this was in the stuff that fell from the sky that was leading to an unrelated treasure that was in his giant trove of treasure.
That room of treasure was just like baby treasure compared to the big boy
treasure.
So screw
it. If I've got to, like, put on a diving suit and go down, oh no, like,
another $1,000 right here.
Rats, each time I have to go pick up all of these separate $1,000 coins.
It's just kind of a fuck you when you find a secret treasure room, you want it to look like national treasure and not like just fucking strewn throughout the desert like one gold nugget at a time.
Ryan comes in and finds just like a $1 million worth of treasure scattered over an acre. He's like, this is bullshit. It should be in a chest.
Well, I mean,
I would be really happy about it for about 15 minutes. And then after about the first like hour or two, I would be like, all right.
I'm glad I can't afford to pay someone to do this for me. No, like, it's like any dragon would see that and, like, have a nervous breakdown because it's not in horde format.
I want to write a story about an OCD dragon.
Oh my god.
I mean, all dragons are OCD.
Yeah.
No, but, like, his treasure room is, like, immaculately sorted. It's like, sapphires here, rubies there, gold pieces here.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that one look as good
and
as
instead
nice
of Bilbo
pile.
Coming in and, like, looting it, he just comes in and, like, kicks
the
gold around.
What the fuck?
That's it, I'm killing Lake Town. So that's the plot of Tintin.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it pretty much is. Like, it's Tintin finds this clue, and it leads to a series of other clues and a series of hilarious hijinks.
And along the way, he meets the captain, Captain Haddock, and they become fast friends and adventuring buddies from now on.
They don't really become friends. They just have to hang out.
No, they
like each other. There's just no reason for them to bond.
By the end, Tintin looks up at him and goes, "Do you like adventure, Captain?" And Captain looks at him and goes, "I sure do, Tintin.
I don't drink anymore, and I love 15-year-olds.
Yeah, that is friendship behavior.
In this world, yes.
Yes!
But any other time you see...
Harrowing experiences bring people together.
When I see a movie where it's got two characters, and by the end of it, they are like genuinely friends, that's something different from what I get from the end of this movie. What I get from this movie is the adventure will continue. It will be more silly hijinks like this. That's different from what I would say like a buddy cop movie where the two don't get along at the beginning, but by the end they've got a grudging respect and they care about each other. That's a very different
feeling.
Is
there a name for that, like the hero's tale of friendship? Like, there has to be whatever that theme is in movies, and this movie's just missing it.
It is, and that's
like El Dorado, Shrek, like Meet the Fucking Groots. Like, any movie knows how to do, like, you have the clash and then you're better friends for it.
Well, what that is that's an actual like hero's journey in a form.
Except instead of one circle, it's just like a figure, like a infinity sign.
Yeah, or a board.
It kind of is. What needs to happen is the characters need to be making active choices that bring them together or push them apart.
Yes.
And this movie does not give our characters choices.
No, not in
a meaningful
way. Tintin hops into the lifeboat with the captain.
Yeah, that's not a choice.
And his other choice was death.
Yeah.
No, he could have surrendered.
Yeah, no, they said they wanted him dead. They only needed Haddock.
And it's constantly that. He is forced into one way forward, and so he never has to make a choice, and so it leads him to not have a lot of character, but
Tintin, he could have just let Snowy and the captain drown and keep all those clues.
Snowy would have somehow found a way to like save them both.
Snowy can breathe underwater now.
You think the world would be better or worse if people could easily be knocked down, just immediately go to sleep rather than taking brain damage?
That's what I think.
Well, without
but then we wouldn't need guns and shit.
Without taking any brain damage, though?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I feel like that'd be all right.
Okay, what I'm saying is there'd be a lot more rape.
Yes, but then you don't remember it.
I don't feel like that makes it better.
The trauma's the worst part of rape.
This conversation is the worst part of this podcast. Shit.
You can be pretty sure you were raped.
Adventure movie for children.
You should just like blur out that entire part.
I should. I think that in a comedy hijinks world, being able to knock people out easily for non-nefarious purposes and then wake up without brain damage would be very fun.
Exactly, but the problem is we live in the real world where people do not use things like that for comedy hijinks.
That's fair. I enjoyed this movie, I think, more than either of you guys did, honestly. Like, I had a good time with it, and it's one where, like, there's some times where there's movies and I'll be like, I don't want to watch that again. It was a waste of time. This one was fun. And, like, if I had younger siblings or cousins or nieces and nephews or whatever, then this came on, I'd be like, yeah, come on, let's watch it. Like,
I don't want to watch this again, but I'd be fine watching a sequel if it came out.
Sure. But I'm saying I wouldn't mind watching it again, given the right circumstances.
Sure.
I'm not going to, like, go home and watch it, but I'd watch it with people that this is age appropriate for.
Sure.
I think my favorite part of the movie was all the jokes that we made about how overpowered Snowy was. Which, by the way, if we haven't mentioned, Snowy is Tintin's dog.
I don't know
if we mentioned who Snowy is yet. Snowy is the small, like, white little Westie looking dog.
Yeah, yeah.
A little terrier. I liked how Snowy kept just solving the problems by himself and all the jokes we made at the movie because of it.
Yeah,
My least favorite part of the movie was kind of what we talked about, where a lot of the characters felt kind of flat.
Yeah.
Not much depth to them. But overall, I had a good time, and I'd watch it again, so I'll give it 3.5 out of 5 trained fetching hawks.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know that I necessarily had a much worse time with it than you. I am largely just disappointed because I see a lot of potential here. It's clear that a lot of love went into this movie. I think that I see Spielberg either genuinely loving this story or having a genuine passion to tell this.
Like, maybe he grew up reading Tintin.
Yeah, that very well could be. He very clearly has a love of adventure movies because look at Steven Spielberg's like entire, you know,
catalog.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not Schindler's List, but like Indiana Jones movies, Jurassic Park movies, those kind of things are sure. are adventure movies.
Yeah.
And you can see a lot of that at play here. The problem is that it is missing a lot of what makes those movies really great, which is a character that you want to be on that adventure with. And I don't want to mm-hmm. be on this adventure either with Tintin or the captain. Snowy's great. I'll keep him. He's yeah. great. But the captain and Tintin, they're just... Tintin is very, very bland, and the captain is just a one-note joke over and over and over again for an hour and a half. And so, because of that, I don't want to watch this again when Jamie is of the right age. I wouldn't, like, actively turn it off.
I mean, is he not of the right age right now?
He's not got the attention span. He's not.
He'll yeah. watch what's on TV but like, and, like, absorb it a little bit and then get distracted and exactly. go play
he's,
Mario yeah. or whatever.
He's close. He's getting there, like, another year or two, and I'm sure we'll be sitting yeah. down watching movies all the time. But right now, he's just not quite got the attention span for it, and neither do I, honestly.
Yeah.
Jamie, you ready for Month of Spooks, buddy?
Right?
We're watching Saw 8 this weekend. Jeez.
No, that's not even a good one.
No, he has actively started being like, what's wrong? What happened? Like when I'm playing Isaac, he'll
he's
see Isaac.
He's acknowledging bad stuff
yeah,
now.
When I'm playing Isaac, when the scene transition happens, when you go to another floor and Isaac is there crying on the floor, yeah. he's like, oh, what? He's sad.
Poor baby.
Uh-huh. No, but my problem is that I don't want to watch this again because it's not engrossing anymore.
Yeah.
I don't mind that I saw it. I would, like you, Brian, see another one if it came out. But yeah. this just isn't making me want to see it again because I've already seen everything it has. And, you know, those were some fun action scenes, but I need something more than that. That said, what this movie is a delivery vehicle for action scenes. So I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 overly competent dogs because like this is what it's trying to do. It just mm-hmm. could be so much more and sure. so much better than it is. So,
okay.
Brian?
I feel like the sequel will probably, or if.
Yeah. If.
In 15 years when they randomly make a sequel, then no one will remember this movie.
Yeah. It was supposed to come out in 2015 yeah. and has since been constantly in
hiatus.
A state of shifting production. Like
yeah.
at the most recent update I could find on it was that Percy Jackson the guy who did Percy,
Rick Riordan,
the current Percy Jackson that's about to come out.
Maybe I'd have to look it up again. But there's someone who did Lord of the Rings. Peter Jackson. Sorry, Peter Jackson is doing it, but doesn't
very
have
different.
A script written.
Very
for some
different.
Reason, when you said that name, I was like, there's no way the guy that did Lord of the Rings is still alive. I know he
what
died.
Do you mean?
You mean Tolkien?
Yes, Tolkien. Okay. I was like,
didn't do the movie.
Yeah, I was like, I'm sure he's dead. Like,
yes, Tolkien has been
it's
dead
weird that
for
he's,
decades.
He wants, he's all of a sudden wants to do a Tintin movie, but all right.
Tolkien was born in the 1800s.
So I feel like the sequel will introduce like a flim flam character, like a short round, or like the funny one that will actually be funny and give me a reason to want to be around these dudes. Mm. But until mm-hmm. that happens, this is just kind of, it's weird that they didn't learn how to do the simple things from movies that have all existed for like a decade by the time this came out, if not 20, 30 yeah. years by yeah. now. Sure. But that's not my least favorite thing. My least favorite thing is the weird opening. Visually, it was fine.
Until they started moving.
No, it's the music.
Well,
it's
when,
like,
say the opening, are you talking about like the opening credits?
Yes, that
like
weird cell shading.
Stylized. It
yeah.
looked kind of like the Monsters, Inc. opening.
Yeah, yeah visually, yeah. it's fine. It's just like whenever you have these, like a new Willy Wonka will come out, there will be like a bombastic new version of like whatever his theme is. They didn't do that with this. It seems like it's just the theme with no background music, and it's really slow, and it's really methodical and boring. And the whole time, like,
it took a while.
Well, I was thinking the whole time, like, okay, they're going to do, like, the silly original thing. They're just sure. going to break out into, like, the full orchestra, like, yeah. bombastic, cool, and it never happens. And that's yeah. this movie the whole time. Uh-huh. It's just, like, you keep thinking they're going to introduce, like, the thing that every child movie maker knows how to do by now, and it just never happens.
It's constantly running on fumes, and instead of, like, actually getting some gas, yeah. it just gets an alcoholic's burp.
I mean, that was at least something that I would expect from a Shrek movie or a
yeah.
fucking C-list The Grudge movie.
Sure.
But even this doesn't have that. And the weird thing is, it's not bad. It's just like he's never seen a movie before.
Right.
And he's just like, nah, fuck, I can make a kid's movie. So
that's
I make
if you
a
see
weird.
The big friendly giant.
A weird middle point with this movie. So, like, 2.5 out of 5. Poorly modeled Tintin faces.
Okay.
Because the ones that need to be...
I didn't even feel like it was that poorly modeled.
Well,
I thought it was fine.
It's just... I really like how they did all the characters except for Tintin and the ones that looked weirdly human, like Polar Express. I like the caricature models with like the big nose or the weird eyes. I think Tintin needing more of that rather than just seeing like a regular 3D model with Tintin's hair.
Mm. I thought it worked a lot better than Polar Express because it's come significantly farther than it was then.
I think it still
did. Whereas like, oh, hey, the hair looks like hair, and the skin looks like skin, and the eyes actually look like eyes, yeah. And it doesn't all look like a bunch of plastic in this weird,
their
like,
teeth all
hybrid
looked like,
human, not yeah. human world.
Their teeth all look like corpse teeth in this, but their eyes were fine. But I think Tintin needs dot eyes.
I do kind of agree that Tintin, like, he does have tiny eyes, but it's just not quite enough.
They're not, I mean,
this movie would be 100 times better if it was.
It'd be looking
just
like Lamillion out in this movie.
Yes. Or no, Lamillion looks like him.
I know.
I want the entire movie to just step it up and be very cartoony in its presentation. Because a big part of my problems is that it is presenting itself with a level of realism that does not fit with the cartoony action or with the story that they're telling.
Like, that's what's that. Going to happen, like, if they totally, like, make through with the Popeye story.
You can have all sorts of, like, cartoony action in real world stuff. We saw that with George of the Jungle, where, like, a lot of the gags in that were, like, I mean, it was one step short of, like, a cartoon punching glove coming out and bonking George
was,
in the face.
But it would always go to that cartoon. Like, it would go over the top and go cartoony, whereas this movie seems like it is trying to downplay its cartoony elements.
Yeah. People just punch each other and knock each other out.
I just disagree with, like, saying that it looks bad. It took me a minute to get used to it, but I don't think that the movie looks bad.
I think if this wasn't based on something, it looked fine. But with its subject matter, everything except for Tintin and the Captain look like the subject matter, but they don't for some reason. I don't like that. Like, they think people won't be able to relate to weird, like, Coraline-esque characters.
I feel like they look, they're just, like, in a little bit higher depth than the other characters.
No, they're like people.
I would say...
They look like their characters.
I would say that it's not that this movie looks bad. I would say that this movie's look is at odds with the story it's telling.
I don't know. If you want to hear four people talk about bunch of bullshit like this, you can listen to more of our episodes on our website, opinionatedpodcast.com. Additionally, we're on social media at OpinionCast on Twitter and Opinionated Podcast on Facebook. Feel free to reach out to us at our email address, opinionatedmoviereviews@gmail.com. We always love hearing from you, whether it's your thoughts on our episodes or suggestions for what we should watch in the future. Just like Lucian. Thank you again, Lucian, for suggesting Tintin for us tonight. If you get a chance, please leave us a rating on iTunes and follow us on Spotify. Between that and you sharing us with your friends is the best way we have of getting out to new listeners. We always appreciate you guys listening. And until next time,
we're opinionated.
Thanks for